everybody to the summer program, and thank you to all of those who are joining us for the whole day. Thank you to all those who are joining us for part of the day. Let's begin with Parshas Korach. That is this week's Parsha. There is so much to speak about when we have Parshas Korach, and we're going to begin with the following beautiful insight by Rav Shlomo Amar. He has in one of his Svarim on Chumash the following. When you look in the story of Parshas Korach, we have the disagreement between Korach va'Adaso and Moshe Rabbeinu. And here the Psukim tell us, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron lemar, he badlu, separate, disassociate yourselves, remove yourselves, mitocha eda hazos. He badlu. That's the first pasuk that we're told with regard to the machlokas between Korach va'Adaso and Moshe Rabbeinu. Then, a few Psukim later, the Psukim then use a very different phrase. The Psukim say, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, daber el ha'eda lemar, speak to the Jewish people and tell them, hey, alu misaviv la mishkan Korach dasan va'aviram, elevate. Lift yourselves up, raise yourselves up from the Eidos, from the Ohel of Korach va'Adaso. So Rav Amar points out that there are two different phrases that are used, and they mean two very different things. One is, he badlu, you should separate yourself and disassociate. But that's not enough sometimes. Says Rav Amar, often we have to go a step beyond that, and that is to be he'alu misav la'mishkan as well. Also to elevate ourselves above, not just to disassociate, but to elevate ourselves above what's going on in the Korach va'Adaso realm as well. This is very similar to the insight of Rav Hutner, where he writes in the Pachad Yitzchak that if you look through the pages of Chumash, there are two different buildings, two different structures that the Torah teaches us about. One structure is the Binyan HaMishkan, says Rav Hutner, and one is the Binyan HaTeva. And there's a major difference between the Teva and the Mishkan. Rav Hutner suggests that the Mishkan is something when we live in a utopian society, when we live in a society where everything's wonderful and everything's great, so then we build a Mishkan to sort of elevate ourselves, that we should have a place, although the society is wonderful, although our communities are great, we should have a place where we can elevate ourselves even more, and that's going to be the Mishkan. That's where we're going to have more Hashras Hashchina than in the regular community. And there are other times in history, says Rav Hutner, where we have the need for a Teva, and that is when society is so immoral, when we're living in a decadent society, when everything is terrible, when we have a world that's replete with corruption, when everything is awful in society, and it's evil, and it's full of turpitude, then, says Rav Hutner, that's when we need the Teva, because that's what's going to save us from the raging waters of the terrible society in which we live. And therefore, he says, nowadays, when we live in the society in which we do, and this is Rav Hutner speaking before all the craziness of the society that we live in, Rav Hutner says that we now have the opportunity to have a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMidrash serve as a Teva and as a Mishkan. As we know, you go out into the world and you see what kind of society we live in. You see that corruption is raging. It's rampant on all levels, not just on the simple level, but even on the people who we used to trust. Now we see that they're so often corrupt and people who we cannot trust any longer. So this is something that's very difficult for us to handle. And therefore, says Rav Hutner, not only do we have the opportunity to come to a Beis HaKnesses, to come to a Beis HaMedrash, to serve as the Teva, to save us from the raging waters, but also it serves, number two, as the opportunity to have a Mishkan, where we're going to elevate ourselves, not just to disassociate, but to elevate ourselves as well. So the very same idea that Rav Hutner posits about the Mishkan and the Teva is what Rav Amar suggests about the two Lashonos, the two phraseologies that are used in our Parsha. Number one, to separate and disassociate, he badlu mitocha eda hara hazos, you should separate and disassociate from Korach va'Adaso. And number two, he'alu misaviv la'mishkan, make sure you elevate yourself as well. It's not enough just to separate, you have to elevate as well. Listen to what Rav Amar writes, so beautiful. Hine b'dareinu anu, yeshno mabel shel shchitos v'taivos. We have so much going on all around us. We step out into the world and we know what's happening. Asher shotev es ha'olam kula b'sarar gedol v'nara, and it's drowning the world, so to speak. The Yetzirah is working hard to try and figure out how to get those raging waters to drown each and every individual person, not just the community at large, not just the society, but to drown every single person. And he uses all kinds of different fixes. Obviously, it's a play on the words, but he uses all kinds of different ploys, different ideas of how he's going to trip us up and get us to fall for everything that's happening. And therefore, he says, we have this obligation and this opportunity. Chovas Hashahi, Lasos HaTeva. We have an individual opportunity and an obligation to build for ourselves a Teva. Shetagin v'tishmar as Eila Shemachapsim as Derech Hashem v'Yishuasa. For those who want to find God in this world, for those who want to live a life of godliness, we have the obligation to build for ourselves what we call a Mishkan or a Teva. V'heim HaNikra Mivakshe Hashem. And then says Rav Amar, that is the way that we will save ourselves from all that is going on around the raging waters outside of the Kosle Beis HaMedrash and the Kosle Beis HaKnesses. He then makes a very astute observation when he talks about the Psukim in Parshas Noach. We know about Tishachez Haaretz Lefnei HaLokim, Atimalei Haaretz Hamas. The world is terrible at the times of Noach, and everything is falling apart, and society is so corrupt. Vayara Lokim Es Haaretz V'hinei Nishchasa. And God looks down, so to speak, and he sees that everything is destroying itself. Kihishchiz Kabasar Es Darkar LaHaaretz. And Rashi tells us what exactly that refers to, what was going on in the times of Noach. Terrible things. Vayomer Elokim LeNoach. So God finally instructs Noach, and he says, "Kates Kobasa Bofane, forget it. I'm destroying the world. I'm going to wipe everybody out. We'll start all over again." Ki Mala Haaretz Chamas Mipnehem V'nini Mashchisim Es Haaretz. Now here the pasuk says, "Asei Lecha Tevas Atzei Gofer." Make for yourself, says Rav Amar, "Efshar Shabbat Kadosh Baruch Hu Lelamdenu Dibu Makom She'en Efsharis Lahatzil Es Kol Hador." Who are we kidding? We don't have the opportunity. We don't have the wherewithal to go and save the entire world. It's not going to happen. You think your little hashpa is really going to make an influence on the whole world? It's not possible. There are some select individuals who make such a far-reaching impact on the world, but for most of us, we're just simple people. And there's no way that we can turn the society inside out and make it what it's not right now. So he says, "Azai yesh lehishtadel al hatzalas haprat lefachos, v'zeu sha'amru asei lecha tevas atzei gofer." He says, yes, it's true, you might not be able to save the world, but that's why the pasuk tells us, asei lecha, because the obligation is in every generation to make for oneself, not for the rest of the world. Make for yourself, worry about your own community, worry about your own friends, worry about yourself, and think about the fact that you have the opportunity to shelter yourself inside of the walls of a Beis HaMedrash, inside the walls of a Beis HaKnesses. V'hine anachnu, Banav shel Avram Avinu alav Hashalom. Yes, we are the descendants of Avram Avinu. Ha'amunim al darka b'kodesh. We follow in the paths and the footsteps of Avram Avinu. Lasos nefashos gam b'matzav makashiv. We try, even during difficult times, to take something out of nothing. Ulekarev es banav shel makom baruch hu ba'avosos ha'ava nadava. We try outreach. That's the way of Avram Avinu. We try to pull everybody in with Ava, with love. But he says, still, Suma Eleinu Lasim Mul Einenu. Let's not forget that not only are we children of Avram Avinu, but we're also children of Noach. Gamas Mashatziva Hashem Yisbarach LeNoach. Let's not forget what God had told Noach himself. Shegamzeh Nechgak B'Torah LeDoros Olam. God put that in the Torah for a very specific reason. And the reason he did so, he suggests, is because we have this message of Asei Lecha, that you have an obligation individually to build for yourself a teva in which you will be able to be saved from the raging waters, from the terrible destruction that's going on outside. So again, we have, this is the goal of a Beis HaMedrash, this is the goal of a Beis HaKnesses, this is why shuls are so important in a community, because it gives us the opportunity not only to have a teva, but also to have a mishkan. Like we learned in this week's parsha, we have the double lashon of number one, hibadlu, to separate ourselves from the outside society. Obviously, we all have to be engaged at some point, but we also have to remember that we have times in our lives when we are hibadlu, we come to shul to reconnect ourselves, but also he'alu, to elevate ourselves, to lift ourselves up, not only to disassociate, but also to go above and beyond. So you'll say to yourself, well, it's very nice that we have this opportunity to make for ourselves a teva, and it's very nice that we spend time in Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses, but ultimately, we are pretty inadequate. We know our strengths, we know our weaknesses, and we know that we are imperfect human beings, and we know that we're not all that we think we are. So, what's the big deal? What is my mitzvah going to do already? It's really going to change anything in the world. It's really going to change what I do. It's really going to make a difference if I come to shul, if I don't come to shul. God is really going to care. I mean, look what's going on outside. And look how small I am. And look how crazy our generation is. So what difference will it make? Now, this is something that the Chovas HaLevavos talks about extensively. It's something that the Baal Shem Tov and many others followed in the footsteps, I guess, of the Chovas HaLevavos. And they all write the same thing. The more chassidish way to say it is, Ma'at min ha'ar doche harbe min ha'choshech. Just a little bit of light is able to push away so much darkness. And basically what that means is, if you can visualize, let's say you have a beautiful diamond, a beautiful pearl that falls on the street, and the street is all dirty and it's all, it's not clean at all. Obviously that's something that will shine forth because it's the only part that's shiny on the street. But say, for example, you live in a beautiful neighborhood where there's gold and silver all over the place. So you won't necessarily notice something which is shiny because you have shiny things all over the place. You have something that's clean, you're not going to notice something that's particularly valuable that's on the floor there. And so too, the Achronim write, this is what our opportunity is in our generation, where we have a world which is not so clean, when we have a world which is not such a perfect world. Every little jewel, every little mitzvah opportunity, every little thing that we do is going to really be bolated. It's really going to stick out in a very profound way, and it's going to make an impact. There's an unbelievable story that I read once about the Chafetz Chaim. They have in his biography, I forgot which one it was in, but they have the story about the Chafetz Chaim, that there was a boy who was from Switzerland, and at the time there were a lot of boys who went from wherever they lived to learn in a different yeshiva in a town that was very far away from their own town, and they went home once a year, Pesach time, that was it, they went home and they came back. So here you had a boy, it came Pesach time, it was time for him to go home, and he says, well, I'm learning in the Mir Yeshiva, and on my way home to Switzerland, I'm going to pass on the train ride, I'm going to pass the town of Radin, I'm going to pass the town of the Chafetz Chaim, I may as well go. Everyone tells me what the Chafetz Chaim is such a big gadol, he's such a great Talmud Chacham, he's such a great tzaddik, I should go spend a few minutes with him, get a bracha from him, and that's what he decides to do. So he takes the train on his way from Mir back to Switzerland, he decides that he's going to stop in the town called Saton, I don't know exactly, or Boston, I don't know exactly what it is, Boston, I don't know, and he's going to stop there, that was the town right next to Radin, he's going to go travel 3 miles from the train station to Radin, and he's going to go visit the Chafetz Chaim. He gets off the train, and he sees it's just him and another person got off at that stop. It was freezing cold outside, as we know, it was very cold in those communities, and it was snowy and everything. So he gets off the train and there's only one other individual who got off with him. The two of them get into a wagon together. He asks him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Radin. Where are you going? Also Radin. So they go together. They travel in this wagon. They split the amount of money that it cost them to go to Radin. So they're going on the road together. And he turns to this man and he says to him, what is your name? Who are you? He says, my name is Zvi Levinson. Zvi Levinson. Anybody know who Zvi Levinson was? No? He was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. So he's so excited. He says, Zvi Levinson, the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. Here I went way out of my way. I took the train specifically to go meet the Chafetz Chaim, and now I meet his son-in-law. Now he's going to get me in, and he has the protector. He's going to let him in. He's all excited. So Rabbi Levinson tells him, well, by the time we get to town, it's already going to be 3 a.m. You can't go visit the Chafetz Chaim 3 a.m. Come to my house. I live in Radin. You'll come sleep at my house. You'll get a good night's sleep. And then after that, you'll be able to go in the morning to the Chafetz Chaim. So that's what he does. He comes, he's freezing cold, and he's slowly thawing out in the wagon. Finally, he comes into the house of Reb Zvi Levinson and gives him a very comfortable bed to sleep in. I guess comfortable is all relative, whatever it was in those days. And he gives him a blanket, and he's trying to, you know, thaw him out and make sure that he's not too cold. And he finally reminds himself, after he's already laying in bed, that he hasn't yet davened Ma'ariv. But he says to himself, come on, I'm finally under the blankets, I'm so cold from this trip, and I'm walking in the snow and everything, I can't get up to daven Ma'ariv now, you know what, let me just take a nap for a couple of minutes, and then I'll daven Ma'ariv a little bit later. And as we know, whenever we have these grand plans of doing such things, it never works out. So there he is, this yeshiva bacher, all the way from Switzerland, who goes to the Mir Yeshiva on his way back to Switzerland to go visit his parents, and he's visiting the Chafetz Chaim, and he's in the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim's house, and he decides he's going to take a little nap, and he's not going to daven Ma'ariv. And that's what happens. He sleeps through the whole night. He wakes up in the morning. He forgets about the whole thing. But all he remembers is he came to Radin to go visit the Chafetz Chaim. So he goes with Rabbi Levinson in the morning to go to the yeshiva. And he visits the dormitory. And he sees everyone's eating breakfast. And he eats breakfast with them. And then Rabbi Levinson tells him he's going to take him to his father-in-law to the Chafetz Chaim. They walk into the Chafetz Chaim's house. This boy doesn't say a single word. Listen what happens. The Chafetz Chaim turns to him and he says the following. The boy has not even introduced himself or said anything. Zachruni, says the Chafetz Chaim, I remember Shelefnei Asrot Bishanim, many years ago, Bimei HaShefa, when we used to have a life of plenty, when the world was full of riches, Bitkufas Hazar, I don't know exactly which king he's talking about, Lahaisa Aguras Nechoshas Nechsheves Leklum, said the Chafetz Chaim, at the time when we were living rich lifestyles, a little penny, a copper penny at that time, wasn't worth anything. We were so wealthy. And said the Chafetz Chaim, Ba'asher Hayim Matbeo Zav, the Kesef Lerov, everybody had gold and silver, everybody had so much money, we didn't even pay attention to the little pennies, the little ten agurot. What does it mean to me? I can't even buy anything with it. Anashim Zilzalu Beprutas Anachoshes, people just used to toss them out in the street. Kasher Nafla Arza, when it fell out of your pocket, Lo Gachu Laharima, I didn't even bother to go and pick it up. Nobody did. Af Ata, whoever, said the Chafetz Chaim, talking to himself out loud, and this boy is sitting there listening, Chayim ana b'tkufas rav u'machzor. Now we're living at a time of famine. Now we're living at a time when everybody's poor, when everyone's destitute. U'b'tkufa kazu, and in a time like this, gam la'agurot nechoshes yesh erech. Even those little pennies, even those little agurot, those little coins that we used to throw in the street and not even pick up, those have a great value. Pruta mitzterefes l'knias kikar lechem. Said the Chafetz Chaim, because now Now that everybody's so poor, all those little pennies add up to buy a little loaf of bread. If I walk on the street and I see a little penny in the street, of course I'm going to go right away to pick it up. And I would never dare to walk by it and just leave it in the street because now we are so poor. So the boy is wondering, very strange, why is the Chafetz Chaim telling me stories about his youth and he's telling me what it used to be like in the years of plenty, years of famine? Then the Chafetz Chaim continues and he says, Pam ba'avar, it used to be, hayulomdim rabim ba'avdei Hashem. There were so many people who believed in God, there were so many people who were performing mitzvahs. Ga'onim v'tzadikim, zohar ani asador, says the Chafetz Chaim. I remember those days when I was a kid, when we used to have people who were millionaires in Torah and Yerushalayim. I remember those times. They used to sit and pour their hearts out in tefillah. They used to sit and pour their hearts out in avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. Malei b'mitzvahs v'gadosh b'maisim tovim ba'ashiras ko gadol b'shefa ko rav. Yitain, it could be, says the Chafetz Chaim, v'lo haya asam b'kach and mishu nirdam lefnei tefillas arvis v'hifsit kriyashma v'tefillah. Back in those days when we had talmidei chachamim and people tzaddikim of that magnitude, said the Chafetz Chaim. So, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody would miss Ma'ariv, it would be no big deal. Because we didn't really need your Ma'ariv. It was no big deal anyway. We had such great tzaddikim at the time. Aval ata b'dar yasam azeh said the Chafetz Chaim. And remember, the boy hasn't even said a word to the Chafetz Chaim yet. The Chafetz Chaim with Ruach HaKodesh is telling him the whole story from the night before. Ach now, b'dar yasam azeh, dar ko ani b'taru b'tfila, gam l'tfilas arvis achas yesh chashivas rabba said the Chafetz Chaim. Now, in the society, in the generation that we live, said the Chafetz Chaim, when we don't have what we used to have the way I remember it growing up, now even one little Ma'ariv, you know what the value is of one little Ma'ariv? You know what the value is? And this is what the Chafetz Chaim is just saying, Masiach Lefitumo, without even knowing who the boy is, without even introducing himself, without even knowing the story from the night before, this is what the Chafetz Chaim tells him. And then the Chafetz Chaim finishes off and he says that one might wonder, the Jewish people at the time in Yetzias Mitzrayim were at the Memtesh Shari Tuma. They were at the lowest of the low. And yet the Ribono Shel Olam, God gives them two measly mitzvahs. What does he give them? Dam Pesach v'dam Mila. Okay, so you go Shecht the little Karm Pesach. And therefore, Ruyim Ligal, therefore you're worthy of being redeemed. Why should that be? Said the Chafetz Chaim, Adarabba, because you have nothing, because you're at the Memtesh Shari Tuma, every little mitzvah that you do is worth so much. I'm going to give you the mitzvah of Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, and that's going to take you out. Why? Because even these very small mitzvahs that are not so difficult to accomplish, even though these mitzvahs are not the greatest mitzvahs in the world, still, even the performance of a small mitzvah at a time like that is considered something which is extremely valuable. And this is the lesson that the Chafetz Chaim teaches all of us. If he said this at the time that he was living, when they had Gaonim and Tzaddikim, and they had a generation of people who were of the like of the Chafetz Chaim, then certainly in our generation, we should never laugh off the small mitzvah opportunities that we have, the small limud Torah that we do, the little contribution that we have toward the further elevation of the Jewish people. And always to keep in mind that not only do we have the opportunity to create a Teva, to create a Mishkan, but also to be Hibadlu and Hayalu, to elevate not only ourselves, but to elevate a community in general, and to make sure that we always keep the perspective of the Chafetz Chaim in mind, that we can elevate ourselves by these very small mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that we do, by the small kavana that we have in a tefillah, by the small kavana that we have while we learn, to have a seriousness in the learning that we do and in the davening that we do in our avodas Hashem and our yiras Hashem, to always remember that that's something that can really propel a generation to the next heights and to greater futures.